Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight was born in Detroit and raised in Lansing. She received a bachelor's degree in communications from Michigan State University. In 2003, she was hired by WDIV as a morning anchor, helping Metro Detroiters kick off their mornings from 5 to 7 a.m. In 2003, she also established a foundation focused on empowering inner-city teenage girls. Her name? Rhonda Walker. And we're honored to have her as our guest. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Rhonda Walker. Rhonda, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Can you start by telling us about your childhood and your parents?
I feel like I'm on a sofa right now. you mentioned it already. I was born in Detroit, raised in Lansing. My childhood in Detroit only lasted for about 2 years. My father was an educator, my mom a registered nurse. We moved to Lansing because my dad worked in education and he worked for the state of Michigan. So he was commuting from Detroit to Lansing every day. And if anybody knows that commute along I-96, it gets a little old real quick. So my dad said, we're packing up the family and we're moving to Lansing. So I was raised in Lansing, appreciated the upbringing. Obviously, it's a smaller town feel, more of a suburban feel than it is growing up in the city of Detroit, but I always had my extended family in Detroit, so I always kind of said I lived in both places. I love being able to say I'm from Detroit, and I do love being able to say that I was raised in Lansing. So my parents, as I mentioned, my dad has a doctorate degree in education. He started out as an English teacher in Detroit public schools and then went on to be the director of adult education for the state of Michigan. And my mother was a registered nurse at the hospital level, then in a family practice office, and then went on to work in schools. So you can see the school and education was big in my family. She was a registered nurse within the public school system in East Lansing, and then she went back to school, got a social work degree, and then began working as a social worker within the school system as well. So school and education has always been a big part of my upbringing.
You got a degree in communications from Michigan State.
Yes. Go Spartans. I had to throw that in.
What was the first job out of college?
My first job out of college, I sold cereal. I had an internship when I was in college with General Mills, which if anyone's familiar with General Mills, it's Wheaties and Cheerios and a whole line of cereals and Betty Crocker cakes and frostings and Pop Secret popcorn and things like that. And I was a salesperson. I worked in sales for General Mills for about 11 months out of college. I started out with an internship that turned into a permanent job when I graduated.
And what is the difference between sales and marketing? A lot of people take marketing courses in college, but I've never heard of a sales course.
Honestly, there should be a sales course because my education in terms of sales really came from working in various sales jobs and considering myself innately a people person that's able to sell myself and really able to talk up any product. But I think I just learned that on my own just through having different sales jobs growing up. To me, the difference between marketing and sales is marketing, you're in an office and you're putting together these fancy flyers and brochures and this is going to sell this product, but it's all office space. You're not ever out with the customer knowing exactly what works with the customer. That's the salesperson who does all that. They're on the front line and they're the person that sells the product, but a lot of times it's the marketing people that get all the credit for coming up with those fancy brochures.
Did you sell anything other than cereal?
In the sales profession throughout my life, My first job was working at Taco Bell. I sold tacos, right, when I was about 14. And then I worked in a gift store where we had office supplies, bath products, china, flatware and dinnerware and gift cards and all kinds of different gifts. So I'd say that I've sold probably about everything except anything technical. That's not my area, Jack.
When you quit selling cereal, what did you sell?
When I left working for General Mills after 11 months, I wanted to be in kind of like the best of the best when it comes to being in the sales business. And from the research that I did, pharmaceutical sales was the place to be. At this time, we're talking mid-90s. It was a great time in the pharmaceutical industry. And I did some interviewing and got hired for a pharmaceutical company. And worked in that for almost 5 years.
Selling is one of the oldest professions in the world. What makes a great salesperson?
The person themselves. Their ability to reach their customer and connect with their customer. To me, more on an emotional or a personal level, if you will. More so than being really smart and technical about every aspect of the pharmaceutical drug you're selling and all the pharmacokinetics and all of that pharmacology and technical terms. When you go into a doctor's office, really, the doctor might be a golfer. The doctor might be a wine connoisseur. If you're able to connect with someone on a personal level and you come in and you're talking to them about, well, tell me how your wife Glenda is doing and have you guys been back to that restaurant again? And, oh, I've got a great wine for you to try. He's going to remember me a lot more than if I went in there with a bunch of brochures from the marketing department and started talking technical terms with him about product knowledge.
What if he's a U of M grad?
Well, I'll tell him that my husband graduated from University of Michigan and played on the football team under Bo Schembechler, and I'll know I'll have him then.
So, we're talking to Rhonda Walker, who became a morning anchor for WDIV in 2003. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back with Rhonda Walker, who helps Metro Detroiters kick off their mornings on WDIV from 5 to 7 a.m. Rhonda, when did you first realize you wanted a career in TV?
Well, from what my parents tell me, it had to be out of the womb because when I was sucking my thumb, I was talking into it at the same time. That was my early microphone, and then it became a brush and so on. But I was always the type of person growing up that, was always impersonating and talking in front of people and pretending I was a teacher or, just pretending that I was talking to a room full of people that weren't there. In something that would look like a microphone. So I would say very early on would have been the first signs. And then when I became aware of it was when I started to get towards junior high and high school. Always enjoyed writing, enjoyed reading, was on the yearbook committee and wrote for the school newspaper and always enjoyed the news, watching the news and knowing what's going on and reading about it and talking about it. And I think by high school, I knew that's what I want to study, that's what I want to go to college for, and that becoming a reporter and a news anchor is what I want to go for as I go into college and beyond.
Who were your role models on TV as you were coming up?
When I was growing up, I grew up in Lansing. Across the street and two doors down was the sports anchor for the Lansing station. He was a neighbor of ours, so I used to talk to him all the time. My brother played football. My father was a former football player and track runner, and my mom loved sports. So we lived and breathed sports, and I kind of combined the two between the sports and having the sports anchor across the street and also my interest in news and learned a lot from him. In terms of role models that I really felt I could relate with, in Lansing we had Channel 50. And Amir Makeupson was on Channel 50. And we used to watch that station all the time because we had extended family here in Detroit. And so I grew up watching her. Then in addition to her, when we were little, when I lived in Detroit just for my two short years, but my older brother as well, my mom's sister and my mother were good friends with Carmen Harlan. We all grew up in the same neighborhood. Carmen was obviously a few years older than me, but she was babysitting age. So she used to babysit for all my cousins and also my brother and probably me, but I was so little, the babysitting term didn't last for long. But I also knew her. My family knew her. So we would talk about her a lot and we would see her at family occasions as we got older. So there were some people kind of close in my life that I could talk to, relate with, that I knew through someone that I had a connection to. I felt I had a connection to. And so I would say, particularly with Carmen Harlan, that I dreamed of being her. I mean, she was this beautiful woman. And whenever I'd see her, she would just light up a room. And so I remember early on really wanting to grow up and be like Carmen Harlan and Amir Makeupson.
What advice would you give to a young person wanting to get into the media business?
I'm going to tell you about a mistake that I made. When I graduated from high school with all kinds of aspirations to work in the media, to work in the news business, in the broadcast news business, I started off in college, and one of the first things that I was told is, you got to get an internship. You got to go on these career fairs. Any opportunity out there where you can get in front of people in the business, you need to take advantage of that. And so the first career fair I went to was in Washington, D.C., at a university there. And it was radio, television, print. And there were representatives that work in all of those industries at this career fair. And I can't tell you how many people who work in the business were telling me, you want to be a news anchor? You want to work on television? You want to be a reporter? Oh my gosh, it's so hard to get into. You're going to have a hard time finding a job. If you do find a job, it's going to be in the Upper Peninsula somewhere. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to barely be able to, you know, take care of yourself. You're probably going to have a roommate or live with your parents. I mean, I just got so much negative information that I got discouraged. I thought, whoa. Well, I want to be a career woman. You know, I want to have a career where I can support myself and have my own car, my own apartment. And those were my priorities at the time as a freshman in college, was I got to have a job when I get out of school. And so from that experience alone, from these complete strangers who don't know anything about me or my ability, I rerouted my whole path in life. The path that I thought I was going to take on my road to becoming a television news anchor and reporter to, okay, I need to have a plan B. I went back to college before I even finished my freshman year and changed my major to business. And went on this whole curriculum, like you were talking about marketing. Oh yeah, I changed my major to business and marketing. So that I'm thinking, well, if you have this general business and marketing degree, there's all these huge companies that will hire me. So I spent the next 2 years of college taking marketing and economics and accounting and statistics and management courses to prepare me for a career in business marketing, when all along my dream was to work in television. So I abandoned my dream just from allowing some people to tell me that I couldn't do it.
What's the greatest story you've ever covered?
The greatest story I've ever covered relates to the war in Iraq. And I met a family that's son was hit by a mortar attack near Baghdad. And he suffered the loss of three limbs. It's a triple amputee. But he was lucky to be alive. The body armor that they put on the soldiers now protects all of their internal organs. So these kids are living, but they're coming home with the loss of many limbs. And I've never met Brian Colphage. He's from Dearborn. I've talked to him on the phone, but I met his family. I met his aunt, his father, his mother, and his grandparents. And it was just kind of one of the most... It was a proud story for me to do in the midst of this war, is tell something more than these statistics of people dying every day. But to tell of this wonderful story of him being one of a handful of soldiers that can live with the massive blood loss that you would get from being blown up and losing three of your limbs. He's positive. He's inspirational. He has this great positive attitude. He doesn't feel bad. He's not mad at the war. He's not mad what happened to him. If he was able to move around better, he'd want to go back and fight. I was so inspired by him. Someone with such a positive attitude, whose whole entire life is forever changed, let alone the emotional and the mental impacts of what he's seen and what he's experienced. And yet, he inspired me. He was this positive person that just had this great attitude and, you know, has experienced so much, but yet can be such an inspiration to other people. So that's one story that I'm very, very proud of.
There's so much negative news. How do you stay so positive?
I am a positive person by nature. I always try and find the good in any bad situation. And I think that if we inundate our viewers with negativity all the time, they're going to have a bad day. So I believe that the news itself is going to be bad enough. I can infuse positivity in how I tell you what time it is, how I tell you to have a nice day, or how I say good morning. And the occasional stories that we do have that are intertwined with some of the bad things that happen, I try to always leave viewers with something positive, because that's how I'd want to start my day.
We're talking to Rhonda Walker, and I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Rhonda Walker, who gets up at 2:30 in the morning every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the chickens are even asleep yet at 2:30, let alone awake at 2:30.
You're right about that. It's me and the delivery trucks bringing the bread and everybody at Eastern Market that's up about that hour of the day.
You've met hundreds, thousands of people who have overcome great odds. They've started with nothing. Poor backgrounds, maybe they didn't know a parent, maybe they were adopted, didn't know either parent. And they've made something of their life. Not necessarily that they've gotten rich. What do those people have in common?
I think that they do not let their circumstances define who they are, and they're fighters. You have to have a strong will to succeed in anything. And when you are trying to succeed with a lot of barriers, with, you know, without the money or without the ability to have access to certain things, you can allow that to define you and hold you back. And I think the people that succeed are the people that work really hard, that believe in themselves, and that are able to bounce back when there's setbacks. A lot of times people will hit a wall, hit an obstacle, and give up. A lot of times people will just never try, will never even try to go off after their dreams or their aspirations, because they already decide before they try, I can't do it. I'm never going to be able to do that. Oh, I want to do that, but I'll never be able to. I mean, I have this problem and that problem, and, you know, there's all these things preventing me from. Well, nothing prevents you from doing anything but you. If you are willing to believe that you can do it first, because if your first word out of your mouth is I can't, I'm not going to be able to because of all these reasons, you can't out-succeed your own belief in yourself. And so I think the number one thing is that you believe you can succeed in whatever it is that you go after, and the other thing is to go after it. No matter what happens, no matter what obstacle, no matter what trial, no matter what setback, is to keep going after it. And those are the people that succeed. The ones that don't get back up again are the ones that continue to be in that place of unhappiness because they're not doing what they want to do in life, and they're not living within that area of success where they feel that they've tried hard and they've accomplished what they really wanted to set out to do.
Anything that the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve.
Absolutely.
In that order. We're talking to Rhonda Walker, who in 2003 started the Rhonda Walker Foundation. When we come back, we'll ask her about this. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're with Rhonda Walker. Rhonda, what is the Rhonda Walker Foundation's mission?
Well, the mission statement is to empower inner city teen girls towards becoming strong, confident, successful, moral future leaders. And we do that through a program called Girls Into Women. As you mentioned, we were founded in 2003. And the reason I founded the foundation is a reason that I think many people at some point in their life decide they want to give back to the community. And for me, I've been so blessed. I have a career that I love. I have my health. I have a wonderful family, great parents, a great husband, brother, sister, nieces, nephews. I mean, I really can't ask for any more. I'm very, very fortunate. And when I look at my life and the way God is blessing me, the only thing I can think of is that I have to give to someone else. I need to be a blessing to someone else's life and share what I've learned, share the choices that I've made, share the mistakes that I've made to help someone else make better choices. And I just had this strong desire to really hold myself accountable for making a difference in this community by giving back to a group of people. And I care about people. I'm the type of person that feels most comfortable giving. But I wanted to have a focused effort to work with a particular group. And it's always been my passion to work with children. I've always spoke at schools and done a lot of different support activities for various organizations that benefit kids. And so then I focused my efforts on, well, what group of kids? Teenagers, little kids, kids with disabilities. And my goal was girls. I know all about being a young girl. I know all about being a teenager. I know all about the hormones and the decisions and the boys and all that stuff. And I made it out of my teenage years, making some pretty good choices to get to where I am now. And so my goal was to use the fact that I'm visible, that people recognize me, the resources that I have, in order to benefit other kids, other teen girls, to help empower them, enrich their lives, expose them not only to culture and theater and museums and history, but and support their education, but also to expose them to other women that they can strive to become, like the friends that I have that are judges and doctors and lawyers and business owners. And so my goal is to link these young girls with the tangible realization that you can become a strong, successful, confident woman one day, and show them these people that have done it through their same circumstances, growing up on the same streets that they do. And so it's mentoring, it's job shadowing, it's about enabling these young girls to see strong women like myself and my friends that have succeeded in life, so that they have a tangible role model. A lot of the kids that work and that are in my foundation, they come from at-risk home environments. There's different things, from low income, socioeconomic issues, to maybe they're being raised by a cousin, a grandmother, another relative outside of their parents. They have a broken home. They live with one parent and they don't know where the other one is. They don't know who the other one is. The other one is in jail. And these are the circumstances of the kids that I work with. But if we can give them stability and a constant and powerful positive message, we can help probably direct a more positive path for their futures. And so that's my goal. We have 40 kids in our program right now between the age of 13 and 16. And we have monthly enrichment and empowerment activities, from etiquette to girl talk, where we're talking with doctors, gynecologists, educating them about their bodies and the choices that they make and how it affects them. And also with psychologists and child psychologists to talk about how they feel about different things, maybe at home, maybe at school, maybe with friends and relationships. And so we try and cover every aspect of these kids' young lives as they're matriculating through school, which is hard enough. But when you have these outside forces that you can't talk about at school, addressing those issues with them as well. And in addition to having all these enrichment and empowerment workshops, we have some fun too. Every year we go see the Rockettes. Every year we catch a Pistons in a shot game. And we also went to Cedar Point this year.
40 girls. Girls Into Women is the name of the program?
Yes.
How do you choose the girls?
I don't. I thought at first that I wanted to find a whole big group of girls I could clone into Rhonda dolls. And I realized that it doesn't matter who the girl is, and that I don't have to be choosy about selecting a particular child. Anyone can benefit from a mentor and a positive role model. And so I asked the schools to help me do that. And I work with 3 middle schools. We select girls when they're going into the 8th grade in every summer. And I gave a very simple criteria: at risk, but promising. These are kids that you know have promise, that you see something in, that you know can be successful in school and in life, but they have at-risk situations outside of school in their lives that may prevent them from being the very best that they can if there isn't some type of intervention or positive role model there to help direct them in a positive path.
You have an event coming up on October 2nd.
Yes, I do. This is a fundraiser to benefit the Rhonda Walker Foundation and our programs, and I'm excited about it because the event is to honor powerful women of purpose. These are women that have reached the highest level within their chosen fields, but they also have a documented commitment to working with and supporting and spending time with youth in the community. And we have selected 12 outstanding women to honor. And we're honoring them in a brunch. It's called a Moving with Success Empowerment Brunch, and this is going to be our annual fundraiser. And Moving with Success Empowerment Brunch means we want to be moving and talking to and networking with successful people. When you're around positive people and successful people, it breeds it. It inspires you to do more and to learn more and to try and just better yourself. That's always been how it has been for me. And the women that we're honoring are women that I admire, women that my board has unanimously said deserves to have this honor because of the success that they've had. So we're honoring Governor Jennifer Granholm for obvious reasons. We're honoring people in the education sector, Dr. Glenda Price, the president of Mary Grove College, the president of Michigan State, the president of University of Michigan. They're women. For the first time ever, we have a president that's a female at Michigan State University. And so we're honoring people like that, that have broke barriers, have become the first in their field. And we're doing that because, number one, our youth will be there and we want them to see these successful people. But also, I wanted to have an event that can raise money for my foundation that is an event that I would want to go to. Is an event that inspires people and empowers people with messages from people that are successful. So we're having conversations with them. It'll be kind of like a talk show short segment where the honorees are on stage at Selden Blues on October 2nd from noon until 3, and I'm dialoguing with them, asking questions from our guests that come in and also my own questions about your recipe for success.
If someone wants to go,
visit our website, rhondawalkerfoundation.org. All the information is there, and there's still tickets available.
When you talk to youth, teenage boys, teenage girls, what's the message you try to get across?
Choices. You have a choice. You wake up every day, you have a choice to do what's right and to do what you know isn't right. You have that voice inside you when you're about to make a decision. Every decision that you make, you have that voice inside you that gives you that anxiety that you know, I really shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And helping kids to hear that voice and make good choices.
When someone says, I want to be like you, I want to be in this TV business, and you're in front of a whole group, what do you say?
I would encourage that. I would encourage anyone to aspire to be and to try to be and prepare themselves to be whatever it is that they want in life. I mean, I think when people choose careers, they have a reason. Either they've met someone that does that career, they've read about it, or they just have an interest in something like computers or like architecture, or they've always loved to draw. Whatever your talent is, I would encourage that. I think that the one thing that's important when helping kids to decide what they should do as a career is understanding what you're good at, understanding what you like to do. You can actually have a job that you go to every day where you're doing something that you actually enjoy doing that you would do if you didn't get paid. And that's how I feel about the career that I have. I love working at Channel 4. I love waking up Detroit every day. And I swear to you, if I wasn't getting paid for it, I would still want to do it. I don't do it to be paid for it. And I try and encourage kids to think of it that way. What's your hobby? Do you know that your hobby can be your career?
We're talking to Rhonda Walker, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Rhonda Walker. Rhonda, as I sit here listening to you, I can't help but think we might be listening to the next Oprah Winfrey someday.
Well, I would love that.
What impresses you the most about her?
Wow. Everything. She is truly a role model for me. Just her innovation and the way she started working as a news anchor and the challenges that she had. And, you know, she is the epitome of believing in yourself and going after what you want. And I've been impressed with her since I got to college and wanted to emulate her in so many different ways because she's an innovator. She's a trailblazer. She's a phenomenal woman in every way. And the one thing that I love most about her is her giving heart. That she's had such incredible success, and she has used whatever resource that she has in order to benefit people in Africa and so many different causes. She's such a giving person. She has a platform to give, she has the ability to give, and she uses that to help so many, many, many people. And I think that's what I admire most about her.
In the last few months, you've been the mistress of ceremonies for Linen on the Lawn, the Belle Isle Botanical Society celebrating 100 years, the 21st Century Club's Healing the Hearts of Children Gala, on and on and on and on. How many of these a year do you do, and do you ever say no?
I don't say no very often. I say yes a lot. And how many do I do? I would probably say at least 1 to 2 a week. I will host events for various causes, from museums to children's organizations, probably 1 or 2 times a week. So, and then what winds up happening is that year after year, those same organizations will ask me back.
You're out in the community every day. You're talking about our community every day. In your opinion, what's the future of Detroit and Michigan?
Well, I think there's a lot of optimism, and there should be a lot of optimism with Detroit when we watch the growth, when we watch the development, when we look at places like Campus Martius, and we see the change. The change is slow, and the one change that we're seeing that's hurting us is that a lot of people are leaving Detroit. Although we are seeing some investment in property and purchasing of property in the city, we're also seeing a lot of people leave the city, which is hurting our schools. It's hurting the city budget because we're not bringing in the money that we used to. We don't have the population that we used to. And so I see in the immediate future that there has to be some pretty harsh decisions, and we're watching that in terms of budget cuts and people losing their jobs. So I think we're in for kind of a painful and difficult time. In the midst of seeing these great things like the All-Star Game and the Super Bowl coming, we have people losing their jobs. You know, we have firefighters and police officers and families that are having hardship right now. So I think we're in for kind of a difficult time, particularly for the people that work in the city and that live in the city, until we can rebound. But I do believe we can. I do believe that there are so many many hopeful signs. I mean, the Super Bowl wouldn't be coming here. Yeah, we got a new stadium, but there has to be a little bit more than that. For the All-Star game too, we had a new stadium, but there has to be a little more than that that would enable us to recruit such events to come into our area. So we should look at the city with hope and with promise, but realize that we have a tough road ahead to get things on track, get our budget in order, and certainly improve our schools.
Your positive nature just comes across. If a person isn't positive, doesn't have a positive attitude, and wants one, what should he or she do?
The first key is that they want one, because there are some people that sit around and they're grumpy and they don't want to be ungrumpy. But what I think makes a difference is who you surround yourself around. It's hard to be in a bad mood when you're around positive people. Positive people that care about you, not positive people that are laughing and having a great time and ignoring you in the room, but finding that right group of positive people. Maybe you have similar interests, maybe you have similar hobbies, but finding people. I think that one of the key things is when you're evaluating your life and the people that are around you, why are you grumpy? Try and figure out what it is that's making you in a bad mood. Sometimes it's hard to even figure that out. You can be having a bad day and not really know how to pinpoint it. But I think the key is to try and pinpoint it. What is making you sad? And change it. You can change it.
Everybody needs dreams and hopes.
Oh, yes.
If a person doesn't have hope, how do they get hope?
I don't really know what the recipe is to get hope, but just to know that there is hope, that in any situation, I mean, we're looking at some catastrophic and devastating things that have happened in our world in the very recent times, and those people have every reason to lose hope. You've lost your house. You've lost all your belongings. You've lost family members. That would be a hopeless situation for a lot of people. But even in that, You lived through a horrible hurricane that took out your entire neighborhood, but you're still here. And that in of itself should give you hope. And one of the other things, I think, is just looking at the world and looking at people suffering. You might not be suffering to the degree that someone else is, and that should give you hope. Do you have your health? That should give you hope. Did you wake up today? That should give you hope.
Your faith is very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
The media is not very Christ-centered. How do you align those two?
Well, that's who I am. I don't think I align myself to quote-unquote what the media is. I'm Rhonda. I'm Rhonda Walker, and I am a spiritual person, and I do care deeply about people, and I do pray every day. And I think that what I bring to media is me, my beliefs, who I am. Not that I'm bringing personal opinions, but I am a person, and I have to be me, not who people say I am supposed to be. And so I just, for lack of a better word, stay real.
What are you the proudest of?
I think my proudest moment was realizing the biggest dream that I ever had in my life. And it was a hard road for me to get to this point, to become a news anchor, to be a morning news anchor on WDIV. I had a lot of setbacks, a lot of discouragement, a lot of people telling me that I can't do it. And people that were close to me, people that I love, people that I believed in, people that I trusted. And so what I'm proudest of is being able to overcome the obstacles, the naysayers, and to achieve my greatest goal.
Rhonda, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You're one of Metro Detroit's biggest assets. It's a blessing to have you. And it's an honor to have you share your story. Our guest next Sunday will be Jerry Campbell, the founder and chairman of Republic Link. Until then, I'm Jack Crisula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.